Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to welcome you to Discussing the Truth as we scan through the Bible and look at certain scriptures. Today I'd like to look at functions of the church from Ephesians 4:11. There has seemed to be some controversy amongst denominations and some churches as to the functions of the churches and whether some exist today and carry on. But let's look at Ephesians 4:10 as a foundation to see what we're talking about. It says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." This is out of the King James Version. If you looked at the Tyndale Version, which was earlier, you'll find that some words were changed a little bit, as Tyndale found it necessary and others have found it necessary to correctly recite the title or the name of one of the functions that were not to be a title, but to be a function. And King James ordered that it be returned to an official sounding title in order that he retain headship over the Church of England. And this word that's in controversy is the word pastors. It's the only time in the New Testament that word has come up as pastors, because the word is actually shepherd. The reason pastor was used is because it takes it from the Latin and rendered over to the English. It makes it a nice title sounding that many hold, like a doctor or a Mr. Pastor, you know, like a commander, or, you know, the pastor has been given the perception for the role today of starting churches, having the vision for the church, and creating the authority of hierarchy amongst the elders and all those under it, including the members. Now, today we have something that we didn't have before the 1950s, and that is a structure of a 501c3 organization that requires the pastors or heads of the churches to become CEO presidents of an organization, that the organization be recognized as a single individual under the state, which means the organization is a person as far as the state's concerned in structure, and it requires a president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary, which are the officers, with the board being the congregation. This is not how the early church was set up. Some say the functions have only lasted a short time. So in other words, we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but that they charge, especially the Baptist groups, that this is a progression of dispensations. In other words, the foundation, we needed apostles, they're not needed anymore. We need prophets, they're not needed anymore. Evangelists, they were absorbed in the pastorship. And now we have pastors and teachers, and they're the ones that hold the office. However, if this dispensational progressive view is to be maintained, then why do the Baptist group and those that hold this view hold on to the pastor as a necessary title and a necessary function. Why didn't that get disappeared through the years, and that the teachers are the only ones left? Because they claim that we need someone to lead and hold the functions of the whole congregation. But in Ephesians 2:20, it tells us, let me go back to it, it tells us that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The foundation is the apostles and the prophets, the foundation of the faith, but also the foundation, the ecclesia, the grouping of Christians gathered, the believers, those called out, gathered together under these doctrines, with Jesus Christ, though, being the chief cornerstone, and fitly framed together, growing one temple in the Lord spiritually, as we are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. But many have regarded the pastor as the primary foundation and the focus of the church. The shepherd, which is what pastor actually means, is more of a lowly title, a lowly role. I'm sorry, because I don't want to make it sound like a title. No one's called Shepherd Smith or Shepherd so-and-so. They use the word pastor for an authority-sounding role. But the shepherd is a lowly role for teaching, guiding, nurturing, surrendering his life, lifting up others in the body to function. It's not about his vision. It's about the vision of the people and him nurturing those in his care, assigned to him or led to him, as they, in response, honor him as their guide and protector. He teaches them and lifts them up to maturity. But some take it as though they need this teacher forever. And the scriptures tell, in Hebrews 5:12, for instance, that why are you still in need of a teacher, not coming to maturity, when you should be teachers yourself? 1 John 2:27 says, you need not any man teach you. The Holy Spirit teaches you, but in the meantime, to get you started and mature, a shepherd comes alongside in order to help nurture those in his flock, those entrusted to him, to get them on their own. What do pastors do today? Well, they raise up a vision of a church, a staple in the community, and people coming into them must sign memberships in some cases and be sworn to them for a time, sometimes hopefully for a lifetime. And the pastors, in return, get a livelihood, get paid for the role as an occupation of clergy, and in exchange of their teaching, they get provided for. And it's said that the tithes go to them. And that's another erroneous doctrine that we will dismantle another time. But let's look at what 1 Peter 5 says about a pastor. It says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of glory that will be revealed. And he instructs, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, but not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, so that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So, and then it goes on and says, younger people, submit yourself to these elders and let them in humility guide you. So this is the instructions right here, that the shepherd is not a mandated official to lord it over and
that people are to go to them for every need and question and get their permission for things, but they were not to lord it over, but to be willfully, not out of compulsion, to teach and help mature the flock. So we have these roles mixed up today. 2 Timothy 4:3 tells that someday, some will not endure sound doctrine, but heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears, which means that they insist on hearing something pleasant. So pastors have been inclined to craft their message around not sin, not repentance, but around pleasure, around positive thinking, around those things that are pleasurable that aren't trying or confronting. And the people insist on it. They look for teachers that guide them in that way, never maturing, never coming to the fruition of the fullness of faith. And thereby, the pastors are required to keep up their front and their position in order to, you know, hold their livelihood. And it's required of them to put themselves in the above the congregation on the pedestal, no pun intended, to be lifted up. So in return of teaching the people, they're treated like royalty. And this isn't really what was required. Let me just say that that the teachers were given an honorary role of protecting the flock. But I lost my train of thought because I wanted to find something. We have to honor those of them that are accounting for our soul. And, you know, they're teaching us, and they're given a certain accountability to be teachers. But to lord it over and make mandates of the people was not the intention, but to be lowly, humble servants of the people, kind of like a picture of going down below them and lifting them up, not standing on a pedestal on an altar and charging at them with a sermon and pointing down at them and being lifted up as frightful, fearful authority. The authority is Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. And where do we see in the letters of Paul writings to the pastors? We don't. We see them as to the overseers, elders, or bishops, who were assigned to regions. And then functions work within them, some to be shepherds, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists. The evangelists go out and evangelize to the people. The apostles provide a message and perhaps plant churches. And the prophets help speak for God and help lead people into what God's heart is saying to them. These functions work together. So it says in Ephesians 4, this is the final proof that I have here. It says, how long is this supposed to go on? Well, in verse 12 of Ephesians 4, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body. That's there till we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Have we come to this point yet? Well, if you think the church is fulfilled and it's perfect, then that's your prerogative. But it's frail, it's divided, and it's got many schisms, as we spoke last time. The church won't come to perfection and unity until the end, towards the end. We need these functions, just as we need the gifts of the body working together, those that function in different gifts, those of us, not the spectators, not the congregation of the seated laity, looking at the clergy and expecting them to teach them, but as fellow citizens sojourning together as ambassadors of Christ that are maturing to the point of doing this themselves, teaching others, and hearing from the Spirit themselves. The shepherd's role, the teacher's role, is to get people to that mature level, not to require them to be sustenance of them for the rest of their lives. In other words, the people to be needing them and dependent on the pastors. That's what they've created, a dependency. If the church is creating a dependency, there's something wrong. So we should look at these roles a little bit different, taking the Spirit of God in our hearts to rightly divide the truth and see this at the proper perspective. And then we can see how we're supposed to react to it and how what we're supposed to do with it. And we'll end there, and I thank you for listening, and come back next time. Go to my website, jimdukeperspective.com, and the other features that I have, and we'll see you next time.